Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I can't believe Christmas is only 2 weeks away. These years keep flying by. I hope you all have a Merry Christmas. I know some people celebrate Christmas and some don't, but as Christians, we all celebrate that Jesus came. He was born, he lived a perfect life, he died, and then he rose from the dead. And so whatever your traditions are, I hope you have a wonderful time with your family, stopping, reflecting, and having a thankful heart for all that God has done for you. I wanted to remind you, since it is Christmas time and a lot of people do get gifts for each other, we do have gift subscriptions available. And if you can think of someone you know that likes being informed, likes, you know, understanding what's going on, we'd really appreciate it if you get them a gift subscription to Agenda Weekly, and you go to agendaweekly.com and you can sign up there. That would be a blessing to us, but I think it would be a different gift they might really enjoy if they're the type that likes to understand the times. One thing I wanted to tell you about, Jim Simpson, I don't know if you remember him, he was in both Agenda documentary films, and he has just finished a book called The Day Christmas Didn't Come, and here's the cover of it. He sent me a copy, and my daughter read it and thought it was a great story, and it was kind of in the style of Narnia, but she really enjoyed reading it. So if you know anyone, probably, I don't know, 12 to 20, that enjoys reading books and needs a Christmas gift or something, that might be a great option. I'm just trying to help draw people to his book because it's really well done. He's a great writer and a good friend. So The Day Christmas Didn't Come by Jim Simpson. That would be great. Today, we're going to get into one of the most important issues of our time. And we've talked about it before, but with Alex Newman, we're going to get a little bit deeper into it. But it's the environmental movement. I'm calling this the communist cult of environmentalism, because all the roots of this go straight back to the communist. From 1883 forward, they knew this was the vehicle to implement totalitarian controls and get control of the world. And the carbon taxes, the carbon passports, the digital IDs and currencies, and the 24-hour, you know, surveillance systems are all going to be implemented under the guise of saving the planet. That's why it's the most important topic to really understand, so you can educate others about it so they don't fall for the lies. We don't have any environmental problems worldwide except those created by totalitarian countries like China and North Korea that could care less about the environment or dumping pollution into the oceans and toxic chemicals and everything else. The world is far cleaner today, especially in free countries, than it ever has been. But the 1984 world they're trying to create is going to only be accomplished through the force of the carbon tax, like I said, and carbon passports and things like that. And even though Trump is president and he's saying no to a lot of it, they're still moving at breakneck speed behind the scenes to set up all the implementation of this. So it's not like, okay, well, that's done for now. It's not done at all. They haven't slowed down one bit. If they have a few years for Trump, they can't make us do quite as much as they want. But the Black Rocks that control all the big businesses, they're going to enforce it because they're going to start charging carbon taxes on every purchase you make. So you have to pay it whether you like it or not. They're starting to force companies to do things like that. So it's, again, just a very important topic for us to understand at a deeper level. Share this episode with others so they're educated about this, because, again, whenever totalitarian world government comes, this will be the vehicle to take the world to a future that is hard to even comprehend. But thank you so much for joining me today. A couple quick news stories and questions before we get to the topic. You probably saw in the UK that they're trying to get rid of the trial by jury. Pretty amazing. That's how far they're collapsing. They don't want a jury involved anymore. They want judges to have that totalitarian authority. If you do a post on X, they don't like, yeah, it's 10 years in prison. They don't have to have a jury go, well, that doesn't seem reasonable to us. But that's the first step where you know that that country is gone, the fact that the leaders would even be trying to do that, like Canada, Australia, New Zealand, they're already gone completely. We'll just see them keep descending down into the pit of just tyranny and abuse of their people. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about is the fact that silver is so skyrocketing right now. That, I believe, is signaling there are some dramatic financial consequences coming for the hyperinflated stock market and everything else. So just, you know, be prepared for uncertain times. Be paying attention to the details. But when those things happen, as they happened at different times in history, usually it means the financial systems are getting ready to collapse. And you just want to be doing the best things you can do to protect the things God has given you. One of you wrote in talking about Joseph McCarthy, who was trying to warn America. Yes, he was a great man. And then you brought up, that is what author Jim Simpson says in the shocking exchange he had with Laura Logan, I guess on this podcast they sent me. So that's the guy that just wrote the book I was talking about to a good friend of mine. But yes, Joseph McCarthy had identified many, many communists in our system, but they were so powerful at that time in the 1950s that when he said, here's a group of people that are communist in our government, they didn't say, oh, you're a United States senator, let's check into that and see. They just said, how dare you call someone a communist, and destroyed him and literally kicked him out of the Senate. So I'm elected by the people to be United States senator. And they're like, nope, we don't even want you in here. Goodbye. And kicked him out. And then he mysteriously died shortly thereafter. And I believe he was poisoned at Bethesda Medical Center there, where they've knocked off many a good man. Then one of you brought up this game called Secret Hitler. Christian Elliott said, I was wondering what your opinion is on this. Our kids go to a Christian college and everyone's playing this. I just briefly looked at it, so I don't have all the facts, but it looked rotten to me, totally rotten. Some people are pretending to be Hitler and some are being the anti-fascist, and which would be making that whole idea be popular. And I don't know, it didn't seem good. I'm like, I would stay away from anything that manipulates you into a mindset where you're maybe even doing evil, but it's part of a game, or you're siding with this or that. I don't know. It just, my brief overview, and it was very short, but I spent 5 or 10 minutes reading about it, and I'm like, that does not seem good. There's plenty of good, safe, healthy games that even help you intellectually become smarter things. I would stick with those and stay away from that. Anyway, we're going to go to this interview with Alex Newman, and then I'll come and say some things about it throughout. And then at the end.
Hey guys, welcome to Agenda Weekly. I am Alex Newman. Really appreciate you having me on, Curtis. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you and your wonderful audience. I thought we'd do a little quick primer on what's really going on with the climate change narrative. Turns out it's actually fundamental to the entire process of building a one world political, economic, and even religious structure, and I will prove it to you over the next 40 minutes or so. So thanks for being with us, folks. Really, really appreciate it. We got another PowerPoint to share with you today, just because it's a lot easier to show you what's going on when I have these people speaking for themselves, as you will see. There we go. All right, guys. So, it turns out the new UN report is good news and bad news. The good news is we have at least 5 more years until total destruction. The bad news is it's even worse than before, and that's pretty bad because before it was total destruction of the planet. So, big problems. Now, honestly, if you go to these things, you'll find these people, they would make the most nutty doomsday preacher blush if they saw it. But let's start with the urgency of this, right? It turns out we're in a climate emergency. And if you thought COVID tyranny was fun, you're going to love the climate tyranny. And they intend to exploit fear, just like they did with COVID, for literally the same result. Tyranny, shutdowns, lockdowns, slavery, and on and on. The fake news is getting prepared. Here is the dishonest folks over at CNN on hidden camera. Thank you, James O'Keefe.
I think there's just like a COVID fatigue. So like whenever a new story comes up, they're going to latch onto it. They've already announced inner office that once the public will be open to it, we're going to start focusing mainly on climate, climate, like global warming, and like that's going to be our next, like, I don't know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's going to be our focus. Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying.
So COVID hysteria to Trump hysteria to now, coming soon, climate hysteria. You might recognize this nice fellow here, Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum. He had some thoughts on this as well. Listen.
We know now that the next crisis is already waiting for us around the corner. And it is the climate crisis.
Yes, the next crisis is waiting for us right around the corner. And of course, his buddy over at the United Abominations, Antonio Guterres, former leader of the Socialist Internationale, has some very strong words about where this is all headed if you don't give up your money and your freedom.
We are on a fast track to climate disaster. Major cities underwater, unprecedented heat waves, terrifying storms, widespread water shortages, the extinction of a million species of plants and animals. And this is not fiction or exaggeration. It is what science tells us will result from our current energy policies.
The science has spoken, okay, and if you don't comply with the science, you will face unprecedented horror. Okay. John Kerry had some thought on this as well. He was the climate czar under Joe Biden, Secretary of State. Lots of important positions, also a member of Skull and Bones. Maybe we'll save that for another day. Here he is.
So I think, personally, we're on the brink of needing to declare a climate emergency.
Ah, climate emergency. And, emergency is that magic word where as soon as you say it, suddenly the Constitution doesn't exist anymore. Suddenly the government can do whatever it wants. Suddenly we can take away all your freedom because emergency. Magic word. And it's not just any emergency. It's a health emergency. And if we learned anything during COVID, it's that when there's a health emergency, there is no freedom too sacred that you won't have to give it up. And of course, this is a health emergency. Ask Al Gore.
As the WHO has long since declared, the climate crisis is now the biggest health threat facing humanity.
All right. The biggest health threat facing humanity. And I mean, you might be laughing. What does Al Gore know? I mean, the guy's such a joke. He invented the internet, right? But it's not just Al Gore. The head of the World Homicide Organization, I mean, World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, literally on the Politburo of an ethno-Marxist terrorist organization before he became the head of the World Homicide Organization. Here he is talking about how this is actually, the big health threat.
Climate change is the defining health challenge of our time.
Yes. So Andrew Mueller and I were at the COP29 where he said this. We were in Azerbaijan and we had the privilege of interviewing Dr. Maria Neda. She's the head of the WHO's Department of Environment, Climate Change and Health. And so we really wanted to understand, how is it that climate change is the biggest public health crisis of our time? She had some really profound insights. Check this out.
So we've heard a lot, including from the director general of the WHO, that climate change is a public health crisis. Could you explain to us how that works and what does that mean for policy?
What that means is that climate change represents a global warming, and global warming creates perfect conditions for certain diseases transmitted by mosquitoes.
So climate change represents global warming, and global warming represents mosquitoes because in what? Has anybody ever been to Alaska or Sweden in the summer? They've got mosquitoes the size of vultures up there. And it's not because of global warming. It's because mosquitoes live all over the place, including, by the way, in very, very cold places. So I don't know how global warming equals mosquitoes equals we need to submit to the World Health Organization's tyranny. But hey, you're not supposed to be asking all these questions anyway. The World Bank says we could use the COVID-19 responses to help fight climate change, right? We could have low carbon and climate resilient health solutions, some nice lockdowns. At the COP29, the leader of this thing, Mukhtar Babayev, he was the head of the COP29, part of the Islamo-Marxist regime there, said in the newspaper, at COP29, we need to treat the climate crisis with the same urgency as COVID, and history shows it can be done. See, so you got to flatten the curve. No, not the COVID curve. We're now in week, 473 of 2 weeks to slow the spread, But no, we need to actually flatten the CO2 emissions curve, don't you see? And there are really serious consequences if you don't obey these people. In fact, you're on the highway to climate hell, says the Secretary General.
And the clock is ticking. We are in the fight of our lives, and we are losing. Greenhouse gas emissions keep growing. Global temperatures keep rising. And our planet is fast approaching tipping points that will make climate chaos irreversible. We are on a highway to climate hell with our foot still on the accelerator.
Terrible AC/DC song. We're on the highway to climate hell. But give us all your money and give up your freedom, and then we'll not be on the highway to climate hell. The weather will be nice in 100 years. We promise. Your great-great-grandchildren will thank you. Of course, it's not just Guterres. Here's Beijing Biden.
We're racing forward to do our part to avert the climate hell that the UN Secretary General so passionately warned about earlier this week.
Yeah, the climate hell. But don't worry, Joe Biden's going to save us from the climate hell as soon as he stops sniffing the children. Frédéric Bastiat, the great French philosopher and lawmaker, 2 centuries ago identified exactly what we're witnessing today, folks. He says these tyrants, these totalitarians, are always concocting the poison and the antidote in the same laboratory, and that's exactly what we're witnessing. But see, this poison is global, which means we need a global antidote, as Guterres himself explains.
Global problems require global solutions.
See? And so we need a global solution to this. So enter the UN. The top UN court, the International Court of Justice, I call it the International Kangaroo Court of Injustice, has just ruled that all governments have an obligation under international law and international human rights instruments to very vigorously combat the climate crisis by limiting, restricting, and regulating carbon dioxide emissions. Remember, you are a source of carbon dioxide emissions. You literally exhale 2 pounds of it every day. And so they also said in their ruling that any government that does not comply is committing what they call an intentionally wrongful act. Okay. They're laying the groundwork for prosecutions of climate criminals who don't agree. Now, the fake news really celebrated this. They actually called this ruling, this case, the entire industrialized world is effectively on trial in The Hague. The government official who brought this case, Special Envoy for Climate Change and Environment, Ralph Reganvanu from Vanuatu, says this may well be the most consequential case in the history of humanity. He says, we look to the court for recognition that the conduct which has already occurred, that's your CO2 emissions, your industrialization, your heating your home, your breath, that has already caused, he says, immense harm to my people and so many others, is unlawful. This conduct is unlawful. Your CO2 emissions are unlawful, and it must cease, he says, and that the consequences must be repaired. Now, just to be clear, there is no possible way to stop all CO2 emissions from humans unless you kill all humans, because as I mentioned, you exhale about 2 pounds of CO2 per day. I should point out here as well that CO2 makes up a fraction of 1% of all the greenhouse gases present naturally in the atmosphere. And from a scientific perspective, the idea that CO2 is pollution is ludicrous. It's the gas of life. It is absolutely essential to life on this planet. It has existed in far higher concentrations in the past, and farmers pump it into their greenhouses because they know plants grow better in an environment with more CO2. But that's not going to stop the UN kangaroo courts from coming after people who disagree with them. They've got the International Criminal Court right now in the Philippines. They've got the president of the Philippines literally sitting in jail in The Hague after being arrested by international authorities. He's waiting for trial at the International Criminal Court. They're also going after Benjamin Netanyahu, prime minister of Israel, whose government has not even signed on to the Rome Statute, which created the ICC. And they claim international, universal jurisdiction over every person on the planet. And yes, they will try to bring charges against Donald Trump if they think they can get away with it. We also had the International Maritime Organization agree this year to international taxes. The first ever global tax was agreed to in April in London, paid directly to the United Abominations. By 2027, they expected to raise at least $100 billion every year because, hey, shipping produces 3% of global emissions. And so shippers need to pay taxes to the UN. Now, Trump has temporarily thrown a monkey wrench into the gears of this, but don't worry, they'll be back just as soon as they can. What's really happening here, by the way, and I should add on the issue of shipping, Shipping is 3% of global emissions. For some perspective, agriculture, they say, is about 30% of global emissions. If they can tax shipping to deal with 3% of emissions, they can certainly tax agriculture, transportation, and everything else that they claim is dangerous to the climate. So beware, folks, that's where they're going. What they're really trying to do, as Cristiana Figueres, the head of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, said years ago in an official interview, this is the first time in the history of mankind where we are trying to change the economic development model of the world, okay? And that involves, of course, businesses. Obviously, governments, they've got this three-legged stool approach. Business is one of the legs. Government is the other leg. And here is the head of the World Economic Forum and also the head of BlackRock, which manages $10 trillion worth of assets, not including what they manage through their supercomputer, Aladdin. Listen to what he says.
You now make a point of that's an investment criteria for you.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. 54%
Yeah, we're forcing behaviors, right? And don't think they're just going to force it on the public companies, the Fortune 500. They're going to do this to everybody. Okay, ESG, DEI, the SEC during Joe Biden actually tried to force the suppliers, the distributors, upstream and downstream to track their CO2 emissions so that the public companies could disclose that during their disclosure filings. So, folks, they're desperately coming after us. And they eventually intend to track everything you do. See, they've got this plan. They've already agreed to it where there's a carbon budget. CO2 budget, and each government will get a certain budget of CO2 that they're allowed to allocate among their slaves, and then those governments will be in charge of making sure that the slaves don't exceed their CO2 budget. And they're already bringing in the technologies to enforce all this, and they're very proud of it. Listen.
But very, very specific. This specific brand, even the specific batch of this, if we link that with, AI technology and then big data and particularly Internet of Things. You know, there are ways for us to come up with instant measurement and reporting of the carbon footprint. I hope that through this we can help people to really make different choices.
Oh, yeah. They're going to make different choices, all right. Here's a big wig with Alibaba.
We're developing through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker.
Individual carbon footprint trackers for all of you, okay? If you want to know what the future looks like if these megalomaniacs are not stopped, all you got to do is look at China. And actually, a big part of this climate scam was actually aimed at building up communist China and destroying the Western world. Here's World Economic Forum chief, retired now, Klaus Schwab.
I respect China's achievements, which are tremendous over the last over 40 years since the opening up and policy and reform policy came into action. I think it's a role model for many countries.
Oh, yes, a role model for many countries where we murder our opponent. I mean, yes, okay. And here's George Soros, puts more money into our political process than basically anybody in the history of humanity.
So I think you need a new world order that China has to be part of the process of creating it, and they have to buy in, they have to own it the same way as, let's say, the United States owns the Washington Consensus, the current order.
All right, so the new world order needs to be owned by the most murderous dictatorship that's ever existed in the history of humanity. And of course, this whole climate fraud is actually aimed at facilitating that, right? And it struck me really clearly in 2015. I was at the UN climate summit in Paris. That's where they came up with the Paris Agreement. And Barack Obama announced that the United States was going to slash the CO2 emissions of its population by 30% over the next decade. The Western world, all the Western governments said, oh, we're going to also slash the CO2 emissions of our subjects. And the communist Chinese dictatorship said, oh, yes, that's wonderful. We're going to keep increasing our CO2 emissions for at least another 15 years, and then we'll see what happens. So here you see the chart, right? You see communist Chinese CO2 emissions right there, that blue line, skyrocketing, right? By 2022, they had well over 10 billion gigatons of CO2 being released into the atmosphere. Here you see the orange line, the United States, and notice it's on the decline. And so this is really interesting to me. They believe, or they claim to believe, that CO2 is dangerous, toxic, terrible pollution. And at the same time, they're shutting down American industry, they're shutting down American manufacturing, and they're shipping it all to communist China, which is building two coal-fired power plants every day to power the industries that are being stolen from America and the Western world. So if you really believed that CO2 was dangerous, toxic pollution that was going to destroy the planet, this would be the worst possible thing that you could do. Shut down American industry, shut down American production, and ship it all to communist China. And yet that's exactly what they did. And they're running around slapping each other high fives and patting each other on the back for saving the world. Folks, it's crazy. And this is all you need to know that the ringleaders of this whole fraud know that it's a fraud. If they truly believed this lie, that CO2 is pollution, they would understand that this is the worst thing they could do, and they would never in a million years shut down American industry to move it over to China, where every unit of economic production will result in massively more CO2 than it would produced here in America.
I just want to interject here and remind you, the modern environmental movement started in 1883 by Karl Marx himself with his paper Dialectics of Nature. It set the whole game up. Okay, we're going to say that the capitalist free enterprise systems are creating pollution. That's going to block out the sun, and we're all going to starve to death because of it. That was the first narrative, and they've just improvised on that ever since. As you know, the first Earth Day in 1971, I believe, was on Vladimir Lenin's 100th birthday. This thing is a complete red movement. So don't ever be deceived and thinking, oh, is there really stuff going on? No. People that are free and have money to clean things up, they want it clean. That's why things are clean in America. You look for pollution in the world, and poverty is pollution. Communists pollute everything and destroy everything. It's all the totalitarian governments. But I went and interviewed Dr. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace. Okay, he started Greenpeace, so he cared about the environment. And he had to leave that group in the 1980s. And I asked him, Dr. Moore, why did you have to leave? And he said, because the communists took it over. Their only goal now is to destroy capitalism worldwide. And the things they're doing, and this was what was so powerful about what he said, because he's still an avid environmentalist for real causes, like cleaning up the oceans and things. But he said, the very policies they're implementing now, they're hurting the planet. And I thought, wow, that's the communists. It's always the opposite. We're going to save the planet. No, it means they're going to destroy the planet. We want to clean things up. No, they're going to make things worse. It's always the opposite. But a key note here as we continue, it's all a communist plan to take America down and force the entire world into a totalitarian 1984 one world government. That's all the environmental movement is about. So don't be sucked in. Every lie they're telling is the exact opposite of the truth. We need way more CO2 in the world. It's the lowest levels it's been probably ever. And they're saying, no, we need to cut CO2, which will destroy all the plant life in the world. And on it goes. But that's all it's ever been about. So don't be deceived by things that sound good or sound like they're scientific. They're not. Everything they're pushing is a lie, but it is the communists behind it. And they have an agenda to use the environmental movement to get people to voluntarily move into the cities so they can watch them carefully, to monitor their own carbon footprints, and to control everyone in a totalitarian way by taxing them if you eat things they don't like, if you're doing things that are productive, and so they can slowly make everyone poor, which is the goal, and then poor people are very easy to control.
The real agenda was actually outlined by then global cooling alarmist John Holdren, who ended up as Obama's science czar throughout the Obama regime. In 1977, he got together with some of his buddies and he wrote Eco Science, What he called for, he was still a global cooling nut back then. He still claimed CO2 was going to cause an ice age. But he said what we need to stave off this terrible future was forced abortions that he said could be sustained under our Constitution. He said we need a planetary regime with an international armed force to control humanity. He called for drugging the water supply with sterilizing agents so that people couldn't have children and much, much more. So that's the kind of nightmarish future these people have planned for us under the guise of saving us from alleged climate change. They also intend to redistribute your land to themselves. In the early 1970s, the UN brought everybody together in Vancouver. They came up with the Vancouver Declaration, and they said in there, you can get a copy of this report, land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals. They said private land ownership is a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore contributes to social injustice. Public land use, or public control of land use, is therefore indispensable. Okay? They want your land. And by the way, almost all the wealth that you can think of, the oil, the wood, the minerals, all of it, everything around you, that ultimately started off on somebody's land. And so when they take all your private property, as Karl Marx understood, they will dominate your life. Now, they also want to dominate your church. They want to harness your religion for the cause of globalism. And they've been telling you this openly for years. Here's a little propaganda video that the UN made for their Faith for Earth initiative.
85% of the world population believe in a faith or a religion. And the power of that is humongous. And we can harness that in mobilizing faith leaders and faith followers in protecting Earth.
All right, so we're going to harness your church and mobilize faith leaders and faith followers, that's you, to protect Mother Earth. If you go to their website, they actually say that the goal of Faith for Earth is to strategically engage with faith-based organizations and get them to collectively achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. The UN calls it the Master Plan for Humanity. Okay, so very open. And they've got an organization that's leading this charge. It's called Religions for Peace, funded by George Soros, the Rockefellers, the Ford Foundation, the United Nations, the State Department, and everybody else. And we actually found the leader of this monstrosity in Egypt. I was at the UN Climate Summit there. And here she is standing in front of some nice text from the Quran talking about what they are doing through this organization.
My name is Azza Karam, and I have the privilege and the responsibility of serving a worldwide movement of interreligious institutions, organizations called Religions for Peace. In case you do not know it, we think of it as the United Nations of Religions. The United Nations has member states or governments. Religions for Peace has member religious institutions. All religious institutions representing all the religions, representatives from all faith traditions where there are no institutions, as well as interfaith youth networks. And
all right, so all religions are part of this. And by the way, I asked my pastor, no, we are not part of it. So that's good. Praise the Lord for that. But they got a little nifty trick there, too. You know, if you believe Jesus is the way, you're not a legitimate religion anyway. You're a divisive, extremist, whatever, bigot. So, yeah, that's what they say. Right? Now, this organization in 2019, all their they claim to represent like 8 billion faith followers, whatever. They publicly met in Germany and they signed an agreement where they all committed to human development as set forth in the UN's Master Plan for Humanity, the Sustainable Development Goals. Now, the founder of the UN Faith for Earth initiative is this guy right here, Eric Solheim. He was the head of the UN Environment Program at the time. And I ran into him at the last climate summit in Baku, Azerbaijan. And he's quite the Bible scholar, as you will see. Check it out.
And so what do you see the role of pastors and priests and bishops and imams in getting their congregations involved in the fight for a sustainable world?
I'm not aware of any religion where nature is not front and center. I mean, look, in the Bible, it starts with God creating this wonderful, beautiful world. After 7 days, he's so happy with what he has created that he takes a day off to celebrate. And the Bible ends with John sitting at a Greek island with a great vision of a flood. So nature's front and center in the Bible, and protecting that is a duty of all Christians.
Okay, I'm not sure which version of the Bible he might be reading, But mine, at least, does not end with a vision of a great flood. In fact, God promised never to flood the world again in Genesis after he flooded it the first time. So I don't know what version of the Bible he's reading, maybe the Queen James or something. But that's the guy who thinks you, as a Christian, need to jump on his bandwagon to save Mother Earth from climate change. Now, they are working to redefine morality as well. As I was going to Egypt, I got this report from the UN on human development. And they talk about evolutionary processes and ethical reasoning that created the prevailing configurations of behaviors and institutions. In other words, biblical morality, the Ten Commandments. And that may not be a good match, considering the new challenges that we face. And so they said what we really need is something that empowers individuals and societies to adopt fundamental changes in their choices, something that leads people to act according to new moral codes. Right. So what they're doing here, folks, is they're redefining sin. Sin is not your murder, your adultery, your theft, your idolatry, your et cetera. Sin is actually your carbon footprint. Okay. I got off the plane in Sharm El Sheikh and I saw this. We took this picture. Welcome to Egypt, the Dawn of Conscience. And they quoted a pagan document from 4,000 years ago called the Declaration of Innocence Before Being Judged Before the Scale of Maat and Entering the Afterlife. And the money quote here, you can see it in big letters right here, says, I have not polluted the water or the earth. So let me into the afterlife, you deities. I have been good because I have not polluted the water or the earth. Right, so your sin is not your murder, your idolatry, your hate, etc. No, your sin is your carbon footprint. Okay. So they had a big festival. They actually, this was in Egypt, of course, on the Sinai Peninsula. So they walked up to the top of Mount Sinai, and they did a climate repentance ceremony. All these weird religious leaders and a bunch of Christians participated in this too, self-proclaimed Christians. There you see a picture of the new and improved Ten Commandments. I actually ran into some of the leaders of this and asked them for an interview. I want to show you what they said. This is James Sternlicht, CEO of the Peace Department, one of the organizers of this atrocity.
All religions teach us to respect the creation that we have been given. And we've done kind of a terrible job of that. And so with a new kind of Ten Commandments of climate change, which are an addendum to, not a replacement for, the original Ten Commandments, and a third covenant that we're some kind of working on between mankind and creation, that we would refocus on those elements of the teachings from across religions that point us in the direction of fixing the problems that we've created so that life can thrive on this planet and so that we can build that proverbial kingdom of heaven here on earth.
So there you heard it. There you go, folks. They say God gave us the original Ten Commandments. The UN and Friends is going to give us the new and improved Ten Commandments. God gave us the old covenant, the new covenant. The UN and Friends, you heard him say, is working now on the third covenant that we're going to use to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Exciting times we live in, huh? If you're curious about the new Ten Commandments, they're insane. You got to love nature, right? And it sounds like Romans 1. You got to serve this interdependent, life-giving earth. Again, see Romans 1 about worshiping the creation. You got to change your inner climate. You've got to understand that compassion means feeling the pain of the earth, which I don't quite know how you feel the pain of a large rock. But anyways, the spirituality component is becoming bigger and bigger. I'll never forget 2010, the UN Climate Summit in Cancun. We met Cristiana Figueres earlier. She opens it up and she says, we're going to say a prayer to Ixchel, goddess of tapestries and creativity. Dear Ixchel, help us to weave a tapestry of creative solutions to this terrible climate crisis. So I whip out my laptop and look up, you know, who is this Ixchel? Turns out it's the Mayan goddess of cannibalism and human sacrifice and war, okay? Even the Washington Compost covered this. I think even they were like, what? Now, the head of the UN climate science machine, and I should put science in air quotes, Rajendra Pachauri, he was caught sexually harassing and abusing women, so he had to resign. But he said in his resignation letter that for him, this protection of the planet is more than his mission. It's his religion and his dharma. Of course, he's a Hindu. And I believe him. It's probably his religion to do all of this. But I'll tell you what, folks. He does not have any right to force his religion on me. Certainly, he has no right to force me to pay for his religion and his dharma. But I'll remind you, it's all based on lies, folks. And it has been based on lies from the very beginning. If you go back to the global cooling scam back in 1970, Professor Kenneth Watt from the University of California said, if present trends continue, the world's going to be 4 degrees colder in 1990, 11 degrees colder by the year 2000. That's going to put us into an ice age. And by the way, They believed that carbon dioxide was the cause of this alleged global cooling. Paul Ehrlich, we met him earlier. He joined forces with John Holdren repeatedly. He says by 2000, the United Kingdom is just going to be a small group of impoverished islands inhabited by 70 million hungry people. He says, if I were a gambler, I would take even money that England will not even exist in the year 2000 and give 10 to 1 that the life of the average Briton would be of distinctly lower quality than it is today. And of course, it is of a distinctly lower quality today. And that's because of the climate policies and the mass migration, not because of carbon dioxide and global cooling, obviously. This was very mainstream, by the way. Global cooling in Newsweek, this is 1975. And, you know, nothing against Newsweek. I've written for Newsweek, whatever, fine. But in 1975, they did the big piece, The Cooling World. And what they said was that global cooling was going to kill us and that we needed to save ourselves from global cooling by stopping oil, stopping development, giving more power to the government, etc. And also some of the more spectacular solutions, they said, melting the Arctic ice cap by covering it with black soot. Right. That way, the Arctic ice cap wouldn't get so big that it would cover all of North America with ice and we would all die. So this is the kind of stuff they were saying, folks, just 50 years ago. And again, it was all supposedly driven by your carbon emissions. So if you just, same solution, right? Give up your freedom, give up your prosperity, give the UN and the government more power, and everything will be fine. Now, 1991 was a turning point. The Cold War was at least officially coming to an end. The Soviet Union was, on paper at least, collapsing. And so they needed a new enemy against whom we could unite because, you know, we got to justify the big government and the big taxes and the big control of your life. And so they came up with the idea. They said that climate change, pollution, global warming would fit the bill. Because that way, they said, the real enemy is humanity itself. Okay, you're the enemy. Now you understand why they shifted. So they've been wrong about everything. Like, you could literally put a monkey in a cage and give him some dice. He could roll the dice and he'd have a better track record than the UN's climate predictions. But in 2005, the UN Environment Program put out this handy little map. You see the purple areas there were the areas that were going to produce 50 million climate refugees by 2010. Now, if you actually look closely at those areas, one of the things you'll notice is that they are actually the fastest growing population centers in the world. You've got Miami, you've got the eastern coast of China, the eastern seaboard of the United States, the western seaboard of Mexico, lots of all the Caribbean right there, right? All the places that are exploding in population. Now, our Defense Department joined in 2003. They put out an abrupt climate change scenario and its implications for U.S. national security. And if you read it, it's absolutely bonkers. They said that it's not implausible to think that by 2013, California could be flooded with inland seas. Parts of the Netherlands would be unlivable. The polar ice caps would be gone and we would all die. The fake media went even further. They said Pentagon tells Bush climate change will destroy us. That's what they said. The BBC fake news in 2007 reported that Arctic summers ice-free by 2013, cited a bunch of climate scientists and supercomputers. And of course, 2013 came and the Arctic ice cap was actually 50% bigger than it was in 2007. Did they apologize? No, of course they didn't, right? Did anybody get fired? No, of course they didn't, right? Now, the UN's been telling us forever the Antarctic is melting, we're all going to die. Turns out NASA actually debunked that. Probably accidentally. Turns out mass gains of Antarctic ice sheet are greater than losses. The Antarctic ice sheet was gaining massive amounts. Net gain of 82 billion tons of ice per year, ladies and gentlemen. So now the UK has, maybe it's getting colder because of global warming. This just came out in 2025. But don't worry, all the scientists agree. All scientists agree that global warming is right, at least 99% of the scientists, and certainly all the smart ones. So I actually asked a lot of scientists. I've interviewed hundreds of scientists on this, including many from the UN. And I'll show you just a couple highlights from some of the prestigious experts. Here's Richard Lindzen, professor of meteorology at MIT.
So at the latest climate conference, they came out with a document that said we needed to totally restructure the world's energy systems. They said literally trillions of dollars had to be invested in this. What are your thoughts on whether that's a good investment or not?
You know the answer to that, so why are you asking? I mean, it's a terrible investment. It's a waste of money, and it's going to hurt billions of people. It's immoral.
Yep. Oh, well, there's one scientist who doesn't agree. But certainly the UN's own scientists agree. Well, this guy here, a wonderful fellow, Dr. Niels Axel Mörner, head of the Geophysics and Geodynamics Department at Stockholm University. He was the C-level reviewer for the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. This is their handpicked experts who get to review the so-called climate science and put it into this UN report that then is the basis for all the fake news and all the hysteria from the politicians. So I asked him, he was their sea-level reviewer. So I asked him, you know, what do we know about sea level? Here's what he said.
So tell us a little bit about this whole sea level issue. I just came from the COP24 in Poland, and over and over again we heard that our cities are going to be flooded. I'm from Miami. They say my city's going to be flooded. Are we all doomed from sea level change to start with?
Absolutely not. I mean, there is no big rapid sea level rise going on today, and there will not be. On the contrary, if anything happens, its sea will go down a little. But also, there is nothing which is called global sea level. It is.
Anyway, you get the point, right? So he ended up resigning. He said, they're just publishing lies. I can't participate in this. This guy here, I love this guy. Dr. Will Happer served as President Trump's climate advisor during his first administration.
Does the world need carbon taxes?
No, of course the world doesn't need a carbon tax. They're talking about a CO2 tax, and CO2 is actually good for the world, so people ought to be encouraged to make more of it.
So why do you think they're pushing this idea of a CO2?
CO2 is good for the world, okay? Imagine that, folks. They're lying to you, of course. Now, obviously, we know this. They know that we know this. And so they're targeting our children, right? In their 1992 climate agreement that you heard Bush talk about here, let me go back to him.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration.
So the Uni Party fully agrees, right? Here's Nancy Pelosi, leader of the Communist Party in Congress.
The Earth Summit Environmental Leadership Act, as this is known, presents us with an opportunity to follow up on the important work of the Earth Summit to develop its blueprint, Agenda 21, for global environmental action.
All right, so there's Agenda 21, right? And so they know education is the way they're going to do this. If you actually read Agenda 21, Chapter 36 says education is indispensable for changing people's attitudes. It's got to include spiritual development. It's got to be integrated into all disciplines. Here's the children's edition of Agenda 21. You see, it's actually produced by UNESCO, UN Education Agency. They tell you that your children they're telling your children that the earth groans every time it registers another birth. And here you see the Hindu deities. Look how alarmed they look about all these babies arriving by stork.
This is what it looks like. Right?
I worry. My mom worries.
The water might rise and it might flood the whole town.
We won't be able to survive for long.
What are you most worried will happen?
We'll all die.
Are there some people...
We'll all die. This is a school in Florida. Global warming brainwashing. It's like a doomsday cult, right?
After educating the students of global warming, is that they're given a letter for their families to sign, and it's to the congressman or woman. It's for Congress to pass comprehensive climate and energy legislation.
Yeah, you brainwash them and then you give them a letter to sign for their congressman. So the UN, the UNESCO, you know, openly saying we need climate literacy metrics on global academic tests. We need it in absolutely everything. The next generation pseudoscience standards brought to you by Bill Gates talk about climate constantly. No mention, by the way, in 12 years of pseudoscience education about the scientific method. No, we're just focused on this. But folks, the pushback is growing rapidly. In fact, right before being elected, Donald Trump had this to say.
One of the most urgent tasks, not only for our movement, but for our country, is to decisively defeat the climate hysteria hoax.
Got to decisively defeat it. Okay, it's one of the most important tasks, he said, for our country and the movement. Now, very first day in office, his executive order putting America first in international environmental agreements laid waste to a lot of this, got us out of every one of the UN's climate treaties negotiated under the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. I'm told by his EPA chief of staff during the first term that they're seriously looking at the possibility of withdrawing from the UNFCCC itself. Trump has told them to kick rocks on their little carbon tax on shipping. He called it an effort to redistribute wealth under the guise of environmental protection. But don't worry, they are very confident that they can move forward. I ran into 7 U.S. senators at the climate summit in the Arabian Peninsula in 2023. Here's what they told me.
Alex Newman here with the New American Magazine. There was a poll released several months ago. AP NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research, found that less than half of Americans even believe that human activity is causing climate change. About a third are willing to pay even a single additional dollar on their electric bill each month to deal with climate change. And with the very real prospect of Trump coming back to the White House in 2024, how is the U.S. government planning to make credible commitments on funding and on these other issues that you guys are talking about?
Senator Coons, who chairs that committee?
That was part of why I spoke to what I think is both the structure of the Inflation Reduction Act, which has directed tens of billions of dollars already to construction projects in predominantly red states or politically conservative states, and to the way that we've been able to get out of my subcommittee and pass through the full committee an additional $1.5 billion in investment in combating climate change, predominantly in the global south, with an overwhelming bipartisan margin. So am I suggesting that were the former president to be our next president, everything would be fine? Not at all. But I'm saying that there is a broad enough and deep enough support for continuing investments to combat climate change and for the Inflation Reduction Act and bipartisan infrastructure law in particular, that we will continue. We'll continue to move forward regardless.
We're going to continue to move forward regardless. Doesn't matter if Trump gets elected. Doesn't matter if the American people don't believe us. We've got the Inflation Reduction Act, and we're directing tens of billions of dollars to Republican congressional districts and states. How are they ever going to pull out of this lie now that we've got them all hooked on our money? So you might be wondering, why aren't you hearing about this in the news? Why can't you even find it on the internet? Well, it's because they have rigged the system to hide it from you. Here is Melissa Fleming, the Undersecretary General of Communications for the UN.
You know, we partnered with Google, for example. If you Google climate change, you will, at the top of your search, you will get all kinds of UN resources. We started this partnership when we were shocked to see that when we Googled climate change, we were getting incredibly distorted information right at the top. So we're becoming much more proactive. You know, we own the science, and we think that the world, you know, should know it, and the platforms themselves also do.
We own the science, okay? So I actually confronted her at the Summit for the Future just last year. Check it out.
Melissa, hi, I'm Alex Newman with the New American Magazine. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the partnership that the UN has with Google to try to squelch disinformation and misinformation. You talked about it at the 2022 World Economic Forum.
Sorry, I'm not sure who you are.
Alex Newman with the New American. I'm a journalist.
I don't know what the New American is. Sorry, we can't do it right
now.
Oh,
no, sorry. I don't know who you are, which is a lie. She knew exactly who I was. But she can talk to all the other journalists. No problem.
I can just ask her questions.
All the other journalists.
We had planned this before.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So, folks, they're lying to you, right? They have been lying to us for a long time. So we've got to expose these lies. We've got to get involved in the political process. We've got to protect our children from this diabolical indoctrination, right? Education is not to teach your children climate change. As our friends at Classical Conversation say, it's to know God and make him known. If you want to follow our coverage on this, here's some of our previous coverage. Again, I try to go to this every year, and we cover it very extensively in the New American Magazine. So I'd encourage you to follow our coverage there. You can find it at thenewamerican.com. And I want to close with just a few scriptures here, folks, because we know that heaven and earth will pass away. That's what Matthew 24:35 says. But God's words, Jesus Christ's words, will not pass away. Okay, so the earth is going to pass away. Heaven's going to pass away, and it has nothing to do with your SUV. It turns out the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief of the night, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and it will have zero to do with your carbon footprint. James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God and God the Father is not climate activism. It's not reducing your carbon footprint. It's visiting orphans and widows in their affliction and keeping oneself unstained from the world. So folks, don't believe the lie. If your church is preaching climate action, you need to talk to the pastor, you need to talk to the elders, and you may have a serious problem on your hands. I want to thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. I'm such a huge fan of Agenda Weekly and Curtis Bowers. It's a great honor to be with you guys today, and thank you, and God bless you.
I hope you'll share this with others. Wake people up to the lies of the climate nonsense and be bold to call it out. If friends are talking about, well, I'm concerned about the CO2 production, wherever it go, That's all a lie. Total lie. We don't have near enough CO2 in the atmosphere, and it is the single most valuable and important element of all the elements in the atmosphere for everything that is green. And they're calling themselves the Green Movement when they want to cut CO2. It's such nonsense. Our verse for this week is Psalm 119, 160. This is a great one. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God's word is the only absolute source of truth. We judge everything else, every book, every speech, every person, based on its either agreement with and validation of the Bible or its rejection of those principles. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. He cannot change, he will not change, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we should be so grateful for that. I'm going to close with a Christmas song here by the Collinsworth family, and I hope you enjoy this, and I look forward to speaking with you next week. And until then, God bless you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you kissed the face of this sleeping child that you're holding.
the grave.